Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I told you we were going to come back to some of those verses that we kind of skipped over in our worship hour earlier. But in verse 11, we did note this, and I want to read it again because this is our challenge in this hour. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. This afternoon, I simply just want us to talk practicality, but in a way that we are challenging ourselves with the question, how are we encouraging or spurring each other on to be peaceful fruits of righteousness? And the fact of the matter is, and I understand this more now as a parent, and some of you know this as parents, that your children are never too old. They never stop becoming your children, right? You know, regularly we have the discussion with our two, and I'm sure you have as well if you have ever been or are a parent. You know, the discussion is always, you're always going to be my baby. You're always going to be my princess, my little prince, or whatever, you know, endearing terms that you have for your children. That is the reality, that they will never stop being your children. Well, even though they may not be in your household, and you may not have the ability to discipline them the way you once did, you are still wanting to spur on your children to be peaceful fruits of righteousness. And so I say all that to say this. By nature, I'm a youth minister. I'm not a preacher. I enjoy preaching, but by nature, I'm a youth minister. And so most of the time, I'm talking to kids. And for the most of this lesson, I'm going to be talking to kids and their parents. But even if your kids aren't in the household anymore, that doesn't mean that this doesn't still apply. Because I still want us to be challenged, whatever stage of life we're in, how can we challenge our children, grandchildren, and how can we in turn respond to that as children in a way that as families we are encouraging each other to grow into peaceful fruits of righteousness. All right? Now, we back up, though, and we look at, again, at verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure, and God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Let's talk about discipline for a minute. Anytime you hear the word discipline, usually what's conveyed with that is some sort of tension. Would you agree? How many of you, when you hear the word discipline, automatically think of your dad's belt? Maybe. Okay? Frank especially raised his hand really high. Or maybe you remember when your mom said, okay, you got to go get a switch off the tree, and if it breaks, you're getting another one, right? I remember hearing those stories grow up. I remember it when mom had that look on her face, and I knew a spanking was coming. It was going to be bad. Or when dad would get home and mom had already said, you just wait till your father gets home, I knew that that was not going to be a good thing. All right, for most of us, when we hear the word discipline, we think of some type of tension, or some tension kind of boils up inside of us. Maybe it's because we remember those moments of corrective discipline. Maybe it was the fact that sometimes because of our parents' desire to discipline us, that we disagreed with that, and so we would butt heads with our parents, that we didn't always like their ideas of discipline, and yet they didn't always like the way we were caring about our lives, and so all of a sudden you have this tension that is born, right? Well, I thought we'd start out a little bit trying to understand the tension that takes place in a family and between parents and children, and I think it helps us then make sense of why there is this tension before we actually jump in back into this idea of discipline and what it means for us. First of all, parents want to hang on while children want to be let go. Would you agree with that? We don't want our babies to grow up, right, as parents, but as children, we can't wait to get out of the house. I mean, you think about how many checkpoints children have. Man, I can't wait till I go to kindergarten. I can't wait till I go to sixth grade. I can't wait till I'm in junior high, which are the worst years of school ever. I can't wait to get into high school. I can't wait to graduate. I can't wait to get my license. I can't wait to go to college. And for children, it's this this never-ending saga of I can't wait, and then you get there and it's got to be something else. For adults, we're sitting here just trying to keep the foot on the brakes, and I mean, keep, you know, we're not even touching the accelerator because it's already going so fast, but our children are trying to get out of the house and we're trying to hold on, right? We just don't want to let go. And that causes tension, doesn't it? Because we will always see our children as our babies who need our protection, who need our guidance, who need our arm around their shoulder or holding their hand and trying to guide them through life. And our children are saying, get away from me, Mom and Dad. Drop me off at the corner, you know, or whatever, all right? We'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. Parents struggle with the time that is passing them by while children can't wait for the time to pass them by. Again, those two go hand in hand, but you would agree, right? It's that tension that is, I guess you could say, natural as we are learning as parents to let go and our children are learning to be let go. Here's one. Parents dream dreams of success for their children while children want to be allowed to dream their own dreams. Now, hopefully, most of us in here understand that children need to have their own dreams, and we are trying to encourage them in that. But we also know of times when parents have tried to push their dreams onto their children. Have you ever gone to a Little League football game on Saturday, or a Little League baseball game or basketball game? You want to talk about dads trying to push a dream on their kids. Now, maybe you're like that. I don't know if you are. I'm stepping on your toes, all right, because I have to check myself as well. When I'm, you know, coaching Little League basketball and Abigail's on the basketball court, you know, I'm sitting here having to remember she's, you know, 10 years old. She doesn't get all of it yet, and yet I want her to be, you know, LeBron James, the 10-year-old girl version of LeBron James, right? But that also takes place in all other areas of life where we have ideals for our children. But they want to be allowed to have their own ideals. They want to achieve their own goals and their own dreams and have things to look forward to. And so there is a tension there. Maybe sometimes the tension comes because we see that their goals are not as, I guess you could say, goals that they should have, right? Because we all know that teenagers know everything. And sometimes everything that they know gets them into trouble. Would you agree? And I'm speaking firsthand here. And so as parents, we want to try to maneuver that or get them back in line with thinking about better goals or more realistic goals. There's a tension, all right? Here's the other one. Parents are so proud of their children that they will do anything to maintain their attentions and affections, right? I mean, we want everybody to know who our children are as long as they're not yelling and screaming in Walmart, all right? Children are so proud of their parents, they can't stand to be seen with them. Any hands? You ever had that happen? Dad, you're embarrassing me. I mean, you see the dad up there dressed in a Wonder Woman outfit? I want my dad to dress like that, right? That would be weird. You know, then you got the other kid back there. You see the kid's face, and he's sitting there thinking, Mom, not in public, okay? That's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? As our kids are growing up, our parents, and we've always talked about this, you know, once you hit about 12 years old, your parents become the dumbest people you've ever known. Then when you hit 18 again, your parents become the smartest kid, the smartest people you've ever known. You know, I think all of us have probably experienced that that transition, that phase of life where we didn't want to be around our parents, we didn't want their help, we didn't want their presence, and then you get to that age where, man, you really cherish that, don't you? You want to be around them. You long to be back. We talk about going home. Why is that such a big deal? Because of those childhood memories that we had. Because of the time that we spent with our parents. We love that. It's just unfortunate that sometimes we don't figure it out until it's too late or until we're out of the house and we're all going 90 different directions at 90 miles an hour, all right? So that's the tensions. Now, here's what I want us to do. Very quickly, I want us to walk through this, and, And from what I understand, Mark, I think you hit on Ephesians 6 a little bit last week, so not going to go through all of that again, but I do want us to understand some of the theological aspects of what the writers of the Bible are saying when it comes to our relationships between our parents and children before we actually talk about the practical. So we get to chapter 12 again, Hebrews 12, and we look at verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. Verse 8, if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Now, obviously we're talking about God here, but I also want you to understand that there is some language here that helps us understand a relationship between a father and his children, or parents and their children. And here's the first thing, that fathers and parents have been blessed with a gift. You would agree with that, right? Theologically speaking, I think God cherishes His people, does He not? You know, hopefully, prayerfully, parents cherish their children. And when we look at those sweet little faces, even when they're covered in chocolate, or they have stains all down their shirts and grass stains on their knees, or when they're screaming or yelling, sometimes we forget how much we love them, but then we watch them as they're falling asleep in bed at night, and we remember how beautiful and sweet they are. We've been blessed with a gift. And I think when we see the language here, look at again, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. In other words, if God loves His children, how much more should fathers love their children, right? Or I don't know if you could ever even compare God's love for His children with our, you know, humanly fatherly experience. But what God is saying is, I love my people and I want to take care of them. So part two to that is fathers have a responsibility to that gift. Well, look at the responsibility. Verse 10, they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, and those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. If we have been given a gift, what is our responsibility to that gift? Our responsibility is to train them up in the way that they should go, so that once they have grown, they will not depart from it, right? That's our responsibility to that gift. If God has given us parents gifts called children, then our responsibility is to nurture and cherish and help grow and direct and discipline. Again, not always a negative word, but just the idea of training our children to become what? Peaceful fruits of righteousness. That is our responsibility, right? Now, children, what is the theological aspect for us here? Well, you look at the same verses. Children, if your parents consider you a gift, then you need to consider that a gift. If your parents love you enough to discipline you, and they love you enough that they actually are invested in your life and want to take care of you. And let me just say this, not all children are blessed to have godly, loving parents. But if there is someone in your life who has stepped in to fill that role in some way in which they are trying to train you up and love you and encourage you and nurture you and discipline you so that you become a child of God, a grown man or woman who loves God, then consider that a gift. Consider that a blessing. Why? Because when people love us, they do what they can to train us, even if it is disciplinary when it comes to just direction or disciplinary when it comes to correction. Either way, it is a gift to have people who are invested in helping us grow. And so children have a responsibility to that gift. In verse 10 again, they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. Well, what the writer is saying here is that, you know, fathers are doing the best they can. Mothers are doing the best they can. It may not always be perfect, but as children, what is our responsibility? Pay attention, right? Be obedient. Well, we go on to Ephesians chapter 6, and very quickly, and very simply put, both in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, children, we are commanded to behave in obedience. Now, children, I'm talking to you. Raise your hand if you are a child. I guess that would kind of be all of us, but if you're a child that still lives in your parents' household, raise your hand. Okay? This is who Paul's talking to all of us here. But I especially want to talk to you for a minute because sometimes we forget that obedience to our parents is not just something that our parents want. okay? Theologically speaking, this is what pleases God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, children, that the fact that God says this means that this is pleasing to Him when you obey your parents? Well, what if you disobey your parents? If it's pleasing to obey, then obviously it's not pleasing to God when we choose to disobey. All right? Theologically speaking, guys, that is huge. Again, I think sometimes we forget the importance of obedience to parents. We kind of write it off and act like it's not that big a deal. You know, we're rolling our eyes at our parents. We don't like what they said, or we decide to scoff at them when they give us a chore. We make fun of them behind their backs because we're trying to look cool in front of our friends, right? That is a fundamental spiritual issue right there. As a matter of fact, so much so that that in Romans 1 and 2 Timothy 3, we see that our obedience or disobedient behavior is crucial to our spiritual lives. Look at what these verses say, all right? I don't know if you can read that, okay, but in Romans 1, verse 38, just as they do not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. In other words, these are people who are completely gone, lost. These are people who are messed up in the heart, okay? He gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. Now notice the list that Paul is going to talk about here. They were filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and disobedient to parents. How many of you knew that disobedience to parents was in the same list with those who are murderers, scoffers, those who are filled with malice and strife and deceit and full of envy? Anybody? In other words, it carries weight, doesn't it? Our obedience or disobedience to our parents is huge when it comes to the spiritual health of our souls. Look at what he says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, and there will be men who are lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God and holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. That is powerful to think about the fact that something as little as disobeying our parents would be put in the same list in the same categories as some of the worst sins that we imagine on the face of this earth, right? But children, I want you to pay attention to that. I want you to let that sink in. The next time you are disobedient to your parents, you got a heart issue going on. And I'm not talking to just you, I'm talking to every single one of us, okay? I'm talking to myself as well, because I'll tell you, I was one of the worst, all right? I don't know how many times, I'll tell you a story later. That kind of helps with this, helps illustrate this. But I don't know how many times Mom would look at me and say, "Watch your tone of voice, young man." I mean, what, 3, 4, 5 times a day, Mom? I mean, at least. I mean, it was rough, okay? But I'm saying this to say, guys, disobedience or obedience to your parents is not an option. This is what God wants. This is what we give Him. Now, theologically speaking, parents, back to us for a minute. In Ephesians 6, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. In Ephesians 5, we are not lording over our children. Now, I think what's going on here is if we are being about the task of disciplining our children to help them grow up to be peaceful fruits of righteousness, let's also make sure that we have laid out for us, both in our hearts and according to the Word of God, that which is actually worthwhile and not just trivial. I think sometimes, and I'll be the first to tell you that sometimes we get carried away with this idea of power and discipline, and I'm speaking of myself here, that we like the idea of just being able to tell our kids to do what we want them to do just because we can tell them to do it, right? I mean, kids, don't you love it when your parents, when you ask the question why, and they say, "Because I said so"? How many of you have heard that before? How many of you despised hearing that? Okay? All three of you guys over there. It's not fun. And now, I will say there are times when that's the best answer. But if that's the only answer we can ever come up with, and it's just because we want to be able to show our authority or our power in our kids' lives, then I think we're missing the picture. So we got to be challenged with by this question. Are we trying to encourage our children to grow into peaceful fruits of righteousness? And the intentions and the motivation behind our discipline then becomes the bigger picture, not just a matter of whether or not they will be obedient because we tell them to be obedient, right? Now, again, children, I'm not giving you an option. I'm not giving you a loophole to get out of obeying your parents. I'm just challenging us as parents to be mindful of what it is that God wants us to be disciplined, or of how God wants us to be disciplining our children. All right? Now, let's be honest. In all of this, it's easier said than done, right? Children, how easy is it for you to obey your parents 100% of the time? Eh? Why? Well, because of the tension we talked about. Let me tell you, it was easier said than done, okay? It's easier said than done when you think you know everything and you're the coolest kid in town, right? That's me. All right, hair down to the collar, thought I was cool. It was a mullet, all right? It was the mullet that Jackson Christian would allow. It was actually really long all the way around, but we had to tuck it behind our ears, and so it made it look really goofy. In that picture, I'm actually standing between two girls. Man, I thought it was awesome, okay? And this is what I drove. Every morning, come on, kids, let's go to school. Man, it was awesome, let me tell you. Driving your four younger siblings around in a minivan because you're awesome, okay? Well, one of those days, Mom was teaching me how to drive. Do you remember this, Mom? I don't know if you remember this. I still do because that was the moment that, I don't know, maybe it changed my life forever. I don't know. But Mom was teaching me how to drive one of those days and we were trying to get somewhere pretty quickly, and she told me to cut through a parking lot. And I said, Mom, I don't think that parking lot cuts through. Yes, it does. Go. And I said, Mom, I really don't think that we can get around that building on the other side of the parking lot. Go. I'm telling you to go. I said, okay. So we went. Well, guess what? We dead-ended into the building. I was right, but this is where it all went wrong, okay? I looked at Mom and I said, what now, smart aleck? And Mom just said, get out of the car. There's two people in my entire life that have said that to me. One of them was my mother, and the other one was Sergeant B.J. McCall from Indiana Highway Patrol when I got pulled over for kidnapping a van load of kids. That's a different story. I'll tell you about that sometime, right? But anyways, man, it was one of those where, you know, guys, you think you got it all together. You think everything's the way it's supposed to be. And because you think you're so grown up, all of a sudden, listening to our parents becomes a difficult issue, right? And yet at the same time, theologically speaking, God says, this is what I want. And so, y'all, this is what we do. We obey our parents. And parents, what we do is we discipline our children to grow up in the loving nurture admonition of the Lord. So here's some practical things for us to think about. Simply put, guys, do what they say. You know, your parents don't always have to have a really good reason for you to do what they say. I may not be able to comprehend the reason behind the demand, but that doesn't take away my obligation to obey. I want you to think about, did Jesus tell us to treat others based on how they treated us? Or did he tell us to treat other people the way we wanted to be treated, right? Did Jesus say that our Christian character is based on how the world is surrounding us, based on how people treat us, based on the influences around us? Or does Jesus say, you are sanctified and holy. You are different regardless of what's going on. Let me tell you this, guys. I'll be the first ones to tell you that parents are not always fair. Okay? Parents don't always get it right. Parents are not always perfect. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I think my parents have a good reason for telling me to do what they're telling me to do or not. When they tell me to do it, I obey. All right? The only other time that I don't do what they tell me to do is if it's against the Word of God. That's it. But for every one of us in here, my thoughts are, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, is that if our parents are telling us to do something, it's because they want us to do what the Lord would have in our lives, right? And so, simply put, just do what your parents tell you to do. It may be that they want more out of life for you. You know, maybe they look around and they don't want you to grow up to be like that guy who's walking around drinking all the time with his, you know, sleeves torn off of his shirt and making crass jokes. Maybe they don't want you to live in their household for the rest of your life, you know. Maybe they actually want you to grow up to be a responsible adult, somebody who contributes to society, someone who is faithful to the Lord, okay? I understand all situations are different, but I do know this. Most parents want their children to grow up, to be respectable, to be respectful, to be courteous, to be God-loving children. That's why they're telling you to do the things that they're telling you to do. And it may be that at whatever age, when they say, because I said so, that's you just do it, right? Later, maybe you start figuring it out. I'll tell you what, once I became a parent, I really began to understand the phrase, because I said so. There are things that I can't share with my children and help them understand. They may not reason through those things, but I know that it's best for them, and I'm doing my best to help them. So children, pay attention to that, all right? The other part of this is they may, and guess what? They do have experience and wisdom. When you look at Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23, look at what Solomon said. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Your parents know what they're talking about, right? Most of the time, they know what they're talking about. Listen to them, okay? You know, I told you earlier that there hits a stage where we think our parents don't know anything. But then we get smart again and we think our parents know everything. I'll tell you, I was brought up by two of the smartest, wisest people that I know. Okay? Now, you could probably say the same thing about your parents, and I hope that's the case. And it's a blessing when you figure that out. It's a blessing that when you figure out that, you know what, Dad really knew more than, you know, goofy doctor jokes. You know what I'm saying? You want to know some of those doctor jokes, just go visit him at the clinic sometime. He'll sit there and tell you doctor jokes all day long. But he knows more than that, too. He understands life. He understands faithfulness. You know, I remember when I got to the point again, and I'm thankful that I at least started figuring it out before I left home, but one of the memories I cherish more than any is when, sorry, Mom, I'm going to make you cry, is when at nighttime, I would have had a rough day at school, and I'd sit on the counter, and we'd talk till 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, I used to think Mom was all about, you got to be in bed at a certain time, and then we'd start sitting on the countertop in the kitchen and talk for 2 and 3 hours and pray about things. Figured out sooner than later that your parents really know what they're talking about, and if they love God, they're trying to teach you to love God. And that's a beautiful and blessed thing. It's a gift. All right, so here's the second thing. When you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it says, obey your parents and honor your father and mother. Why? Because they deserve it. But what if they don't? What if your parents don't deserve it? Remember what we said earlier. I don't treat people based on how they treat me. I treat people based on Jesus who lives in me. And so you know what? Maybe my parents don't always treat me with honor. Maybe we come home sometimes and we're mad, we're angry because of something that happened in the job, and we unfairly and unjustly take it out on our children. Guess what? Children, we still give our parents honor because they are our parents. That is who God placed them to be in our lives. You know, it may be that whatever has happened and you get blamed for it when you are not the cause, that does not take away your obligation to honor your parents and the way that you talk to them, the way that you approach them, the way that you treat them. Give your parents honor because they deserve it, and then theologically again, because God desires it. this is what he wants. I want you to go back to Hebrews 12 for a minute. Again, look at what he says in verse 10. They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best for us, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. It almost seems, back up to verse 9. I was reading the wrong verse. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. God is saying, hey, look, your fathers are doing the best that they can. Your mothers are doing the best that they can. And what? You respect them for it. That's what God desires. Well, what does it look like to give honor? This is going to be challenging for us, all right? You ready? You ready, children? All right? Give honor by being obedient as opposed to relentlessly arguing with your parents every time they ask you to do something. Okay? Hey, look. You probably do need to clean your room. Just go clean your room. You probably do need to help wash the dishes or take out the trash. You probably do need to get your homework done. Just do it. Don't argue about every little thing that your parents ask you to do or to be a part of. When they give you a curfew, be obedient. Okay? It may seem unfair, but let me tell you something. Your parents understand this world and the way the world works these days, and they're probably trying to save you from some headache and heartache and hurt. They're probably trying to protect you and take care of you. So be obedient. Don't relentlessly argue all the time. Give them respect, okay? A lot of times, and I've noticed this and I remember this, kind of my story earlier, you know, we make faces at our parents or we roll our eyes when they make a request or as soon as they turn around to walk away, we make some snide comment about them to our friends. But guys, that's not respectful, and that's not what God wants. Instead of rolling our eyes or making faces or making snide remarks, instead of smarting off, or maybe we're giving them lip service, but our body language and our tone of voice is taking away from that, do everything you can to give your parents respect. Remember, they deserve it, and God desires it. Here's one other thing. You want to give your parents honor? Say thank you. Say thank you. All too often as children, what do? We take for granted what our parents have done for us, don't we? I mean, every day you wake up, your mom probably has something. If it's not on the table fixed for you, it's in the pantry or in the refrigerator. You can take care of getting your own meal, all right? But it's there for you because of your parents' hard work and their sacrifice. You put on clothes, probably somewhat stylish clothes. Why? Because your parents worked hard to provide for you. You have a house. Some of you, when you become driving age, you are given a car. And it's all because your parents have worked hard to provide for you. When was the last time you paused for just a minute to say thank you for everything you do for me? I think we need to say thank you more to our parents than we do, right? So children, I want to challenge you today, on your way home, tonight before you get into bed, tomorrow when you wake up, just say thank you to your parents. Let them know that you are appreciative for what they have done for you. On the other hand, what does our world think about all of the things that we have? The world tends to think that you are entitled for everything that you have. Well, let me tell you, you're not, okay? Be grateful for the sacrifices that people have made to give you what you have, and then as you grow up, learn how to work hard to provide for your own. Do that, and that will be honoring towards your parents. Here's the final thing. You want to honor your parents? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. For all of us sitting in here, there is no greater desire for our children than for our children to grow up and love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then remember this. Let's close with this. Remember, and this is for both of us, that neither children nor parents are perfect, right? You go back to verse 10. This is what I was going to read earlier, or what I was reading earlier and was saving. They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but God disciplines for our good that we may share His holiness. Hey, listen, parents aren't always going to get it right, okay? I'll be the first to tell you as a parent that I've made a lot of mistakes. Parents, let's challenge ourselves to say I'm sorry more, to be more gracious in the way that we handle our children. But children, remember that your parents aren't perfect. Don't hold it against them, and vice versa. okay? This is not one of those games we need to play within the family where we're keeping score and you wronged me here and I'm going to wrong you here, back and forth and back and forth. No, look, if there's one thing that we learn from God as the perfect Father, it's that He understood that His children were not perfect, all right? And yet He forgave over and over and over again. Now, our parents may not be perfect, but God is. And so I want to simply close one last time by offering the invitation to God, our Father, who is perfect in everything that He does. Whatever your situation may be, okay? Maybe, you know, I mentioned earlier that maybe we're not blessed with parents who love us as we're growing up in whatever situation. But don't ever forget that God is a perfect Father when our parents aren't. Talk to Him. Run to Him. Know that He's there for you in whatever situation that you're facing. If you need to come to the Lord to answer the call, the invitation, whether you need to be baptized and have your sins washed away, or whether to have prayers on your behalf that you would come back to the Lord, if we can help in any way, would you stand as we sing together?